Everyone, welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show, and today I have a very extraordinary guest, and it's going to be real interesting, and I'd like to bring him on right away. His name is Bert Goldman, and hi, Bert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you, and thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Bert. I've been reading a lot of your updates and everything, but before we go into some of the articles that you have written, can you please tell my listeners a little bit about you and kind of like how you became known as the American Monk?
To get the title out of the way, I've probably taught, I have no idea, I should think 100,000 or more people how to meditate over the years. And somebody just hung that appellation on me some time ago. At first, I wasn't quite sure, but then I realized that a long time ago I was a monk. So, at one time I was a disciple of a rather famous Swami that some of your listeners may have heard of, Paramahansa Yogananda.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he baptized me a long time ago in the early 1950, I think it was.
Long time ago. Before you go any further, could you please tell my listeners how old you are right now?
81.
Okay. And I make this a point because I want the people that are listening to the program to understand that it's never too late to fulfill your dreams or your desires. Would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't, quite honestly, when I see friends of mine that I grew up with who are of course my age, I look at them and I think, I can't be that old. Because when I look in the mirror, I don't see age. I see me.
Mm-hmm.
And age is, it's just a, you know, I've heard it said that it's just a number, but I don't even look at it that way. When I was 80, I started an entirely different business, totally new, a very successful business that I knew absolutely nothing about. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to next year, I'm starting another new business.
Great. Well, the business that you started when you were 80, what was that?
That was on the Internet. I saw some time ago that the Internet is the future, and of course everybody realizes that now, and I decided to learn a little bit more about it, and I did, and started a series. First, let me back up just a bit, Nancy.
Okay.
For the past 30 years, I've been doing seminars all over the world on In a general sense, self-help, mind development, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I've also practiced hypnotism, and I've been training hypnotherapists in instant hypnosis and also in handling problems in a very effective, efficient manner, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold that you have to go back to a therapist for years to get any results. If the therapist uses the proper techniques with certain people, not with everyone, of course everyone is different, he should resolve a problem in a session or two. And this is the techniques that I've been teaching. I really got tired of traveling to Europe 4, 5, 6 sometimes times a year. Although I enjoy Europe, I have many friends there, and many graduates of my programs, it's just a hassle to get there, and the time change and all. And so a few years back, I thought, well, let me make some CDs and see if I can do the same thing. It's not quite the same because there's no instant feedback. There's no questions. So I had to do it a little bit differently. So I created a set of CDs and put my seminars together on that. Well, that was fairly successful. I thought, well, let me do it again, but let me make it a little bit more concise. And then I thought, what kind of problems do I want to take care of? Well, I thought people have problems from the time they're born until the time they die. Let's see if I can handle everything. And so I created a set of 24 CDs with some 50-some-odd techniques and put it all together, and I thought maybe this will fly. And, of course, it did, and it became very, very successful. That's the GoldmanMethod.com.
GoldmanMethod.
GoldmanMethod.com. I don't know if you've seen those CDs or not. But that very successful. When I say successful, I'm not just talking about selling the CDs. Anybody can sell something if they present it properly. But the feedback that we get, what's important to me now is really helping people. I mean, you know, I'm in 81. What am I looking for? There's no more worlds for me to conquer. I've done everything that I've ever set out to do. I became an artist. I became a Hall of Fame photographer. I became a singer. None of these things came about. I was none of these things. Let me put it another way. Art. I can't even draw a stick figure. And yet some of my art is hanging in museums now. I know nothing at all about photography. And yet at the International Photography Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City, my work hangs. Now, all of this came out of the material that I've been teaching others. I always like to practice on myself. If it doesn't work for me, how can I expect it to work for somebody else? And so, not that I teach art, not that I teach photography, what I do teach people is that they can do anything that they want, that we all have hidden talents that can be brought out with certain intention and by utilizing the proper attitude. I'm not going to say technique. There are many techniques, but all a technique is a psychological placebo, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that's probably very true. I do have a question to ask you, Bert, if that's okay. I know that you have tried to help people for a long, long time, and you did like a lot of meditation, and you helped people kind of learn how and who they were, which is hard in itself because a lot of people, I think, have a very hard time knowing who they are. But I also am very interested in the work that you're now doing with children, because that's where I specialize in with my 501c3, A Child's Miracle Mind. And a lot of the comments and a lot of the stories and articles that you have sent out really wholeheartedly with. And I'd like for you maybe to explain to listeners a little bit about how you came up with the genius dip.
The genius dip. Two of my daughters, I have three daughters, two of my daughters are school teachers. And I have a lot of friends who are teachers. And they were all complaining to me about this No Child Left Behind business. Because I always thought, gee, No Child Left Behind, that sounds like a terrific idea. But as it turns out, none of the teachers that I know think that it's a terrific idea. They all think it's a lousy idea because they're catering to the lowest denominator instead of the highest. It's just the opposite of what they should be doing. And so I kind of looked into what's happening with respect to children, and in my research discovered that what was happening was the opposite of what the government hoped would happen. Now, people who have a lot of money, they don't have to be concerned about this No Child Left Behind business because they go to better schools or private schools with better teachers and who cater to the better as opposed to the lesser. And in the research that I did, I discovered that most children are genius. Everyone is born with the potential to be a genius. creativity, imagination. These are the things that apparently the school system stunts in our children. Apparently, in the research that I've done, we came up with the fact that the genius kind of dipped down in children as they grew into the teenage years. And my research took me into to answer the question, why? Why was that happening? What was the school system doing, or what weren't they doing? And I believe that the main factor is in the hampering of the imagination, the hampering of the visual imagery. Stop daydreaming, that kind of business. I go the opposite way. Daydream. But understand what a daydream is. A daydream is a creation. It's recreational. But a goal setting is also a daydream. We all want our children and ourselves and our friends to set goals. Everybody who teaches and trains people in self-improvement, one of the prime prerequisites to improving themselves is to set goals for themselves. Well, what is a goal? A goal is something that you're visualizing or daydreaming. It's the same mechanism. Imagination, visualization, daydreaming, and dreams. They're all the same. But when you understand what they are, you can help that faculty. When I have children's classes, which I don't at present, but I used to, one of the things that I wanted the children to learn is to use their imagination. And a very simple thing that your listeners can do with their children to help their children is tic-tac-toe. Now, you're familiar with tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, it's a game.
It's a game. Well, now let's play it. However, we're not going to play with pencil and paper. And we're not going to use X's and O's. The top three are 1, 2, 3. The middle three are 4, 5, 6. And the bottom three are 7, 8, 9, correct?
Uh-huh.
Now, if we were to play it, I would say, you start. Give me a number.
2.
Okay. 5.
7.
1.
3.
9, I win.
Okay, now explain why you win.
1, 5, and 9. Can you see it?
Uh-huh.
In your mind, I mean. Can you see it?
Hard.
You get it?
Yeah.
Now, this simple little game, when two children play it, when they reach the point where it's always a tie, where nobody wins, they're beginning to use their imagination. Or some would say their right brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next step from that would be a very sophisticated version of tic-tac-toe, which is three-level tic-tac-toe. Now you have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 board,
mm-hmm.
except you have three of them. You have A, B, and C.
Okay.
So A1, B5, and C9 would also win. You follow?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When you learn how to play it with three levels, you have stimulated the imagination and the creativity. Now, what I train people, when I decided to teach children with the CDs, I don't teach facts. Facts they learn in school. I don't teach history. History they learn in school. I don't teach geometry. I don't teach mathematics. I don't teach geography. I teach creativity, how to use your mind to do certain things. Now, the program that I've come up with is called My Inner Magic. You might have seen myinnermagic.com. My Inner Magic, to get the children to listen, because, you know, I could be the most brilliant person in the world. If a child won't listen to me, what good is it?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've introduced there is songs. The second track of each CD has a song that relates to too what the CD is all about. As an example, okay. In one of the CDs is fitting in. Everybody wants to fit in. Children want to fit in. And the song is When Words Get in the Way.
Okay.
And it's not a Frank Sinatra type song. It's a song that kids of today are really into, kind of hip hop.
Okay.
So, because you think, hey, this guy is 80 years old, what kind of song is he going to come up with? You want to be a football hero to get along with the beautiful girls or something? No. I have a great composer who sings his own songs, and I just kind of guide him and tell him what kind of songs I want. The second CD, as an example, is about kids who are destroyed by failing. They don't want to attempt anything because they're afraid to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And the CD is about the fact that there is no failure when you see each experience as a learning experience. You've learned what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the song in that is One More Song. So the words being that if this song doesn't go over, I'll do one more and that one will go. So there are 10 CDs in the children's program, and each CD has a particular song to go along with whatever the concept of that particular CD is about. There's one on physical success as an example, and that will be for kids who are involved with sports. And what we feature there is competition, but not the normal type of competition. The only true type of competition for a child, or for an adult for that matter, is self-competition. When you learn how to set a baseline and compete with yourself, then you can't lose. Because if you set the baseline, you can always do a little better. And we're not looking to do a lot better, just a millimeter better. As long as you're doing a little bit better each time, you're going to do better and better. The first one, the song, is The Tangled Web, because kids, when they're coming into their teenage years, they're all messed up. What's going on here? Well, life does get tangled, and the song is The Tangled Web. And we talk a lot about the Gordian knot and how Alexander solved the problem by doing it differently. He didn't try to untie the knot. He couldn't. There were no ends to it. He just took out a sword and cut it in half. And then I talk about how you can use your mind, your creativity, to cut through the problems that you're going to be running through in life. I talk about relationships, and that all a really good relationship consists of is filling the needs of a person that you want to relate to. So the things that I talk about are things that I've learned over the years that I've been teaching to adults, but it's all designed for the young, for the evolving, for the growing mind. How to get along, how to set goals, believing in oneself, self-esteem, things of that type. And this is... It's not the last thing that I'm going to do, because I'm going to be working on something very shortly for people from 60 to 90. Well, why leave it at 90? From 60 and above.
Mm-hmm.
That's my next project after the My Inner Magic thing that I'm doing now.
And I think that's all important. I have a question for you, Bert. When it comes to the children that are constantly being put on the prescription drugs, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I have very carefully stayed as far away from medical problems as I can. I don't like it when children are put on drugs, first of all. That's personal. I don't teach that.
I agree.
I don't get into it. But I hate it. And prescription drugs are, well, just because you put the word prescription in front of it. Is that supposed to make it better? It's still a drug. And yep. What a drug does, the worst thing about any drug, I used to occasionally lecture, a friend of mine was involved with juveniles in trouble with police, and there was always drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked about drugs, I didn't tell them about the evils of drugs. You know, I told them, you know, drugs are pretty nice. They satisfy. Isn't that, well, why would I say that? Because now they're listening to me. If I can't get a person to listen to me, it doesn't matter what I'm going to say.
Well,
and the problem with drugs is that they're so satisfying that they stop you. You don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You may as well bat yourself on the head and sleep for 20 years if you're taking drugs, because you're satisfied. And if you're satisfied, you're not going to accomplish anything. People who accomplish, people who create, people who invent, are people who are dissatisfied. Just the opposite effect of drugs. I hate drugs. Prescription, well, maybe when you're in your 70s and 80s, then there's certain drugs that you need to help your heart, to help any problems you might have. That's one thing. But a child to give drugs to? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of the children that are here today are, see, I'll give you my opinion, and then it won't, you know, you can say what you want. But my opinion is that a lot of the children that are here today are highly, highly intelligent. They're just not being given the correct type of stimulus in order to bring that together to make it work. Now, would you agree with that or disagree with that?
Who could possibly disagree with that statement?
Well, people do, is the thing. And I look at them and I go, you have got to be kidding me. You know, these children are very, very intelligent. They're very, very bored. Every time they say they can't focus, I look at it, it's not that they can't focus. They don't have a reason to focus.
Exactly. Exactly. There's nothing to stimulate them. And any kind of a drug, which is still... We can get away from the subject of drugs, but any kind of a drug, a prescription, an aspirin, will to some degree satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
And take a child away from, let us say, the stimulation that he or she needs to get on with life, to be creative. Creativity resides in the imagination. And I believe that one of the problems that children have is that there's not enough to stimulate their imagination. There's too much easy stuff. Well, as an example, one of my friends teaches kindergarten in Rancho Mirage, which is where I live. And this is the Palm Springs area of California. And I had occasion to go into the kindergarten the other day, and I was amazed. It's kindergarten, and everybody's got a computer.
Mm-hmm.
When the teacher is bored, she puts a movie on.
Right.
And the kids, well, I'd rather she gave the kids a rag doll so that they could create something themselves instead of watching a movie. There's no creativity. There's nothing for them to learn themselves. It's all laid out. It's all in front of them. There's a lot of stimulus. There's no question about that. They're stimulated every day with television, with the internet, with text messaging, with I don't have to tell you. Every kid today has a telephone.
Right.
I don't think that some of these things are necessary. I mean, I use all these things myself. I'm not talking against them. I'm saying that that for the tweens and the teens, it just stops the thing that we must have for the children, and that is to create in them a desire to be, let's say, stimulated by their own mind, by their own logic, to be able to think themselves for themselves. And did I make that clear enough for you?
Yeah, no, you did, Jan. And again, I agree with, you know, most of the things that you say. What I would like for you to do right now, Bert, because you have email newsletter thing that you send out to people. Could you give out the information that our listeners can get so they can be part of your email address so they can get all these wonderful, wonderful things that you're sending out?
If they go to theamericanmonk.com, theamericanmonk.com, and just put their name and their email address. They don't even need their full name, just their first name is fine. I will send them 7 lessons, no charge. Now, these are not lessons designed to make you buy something. These are lessons that are complete unto themselves. Each lesson will help an individual. This is not for children. This is for adults. Not that a child can't get them also. It will help. But the terminology may be a little bit much for a 10-year-old, let's say. But theamericanmonk.com, just sign up for the 7 free lessons. We've gotten a lot of feedback. I've gotten so many thank yous for allowing them to subscribe to this and without me sending them a ton of emails to buy this and to buy that and to buy this and the other thing. We have material for sale, but that's not what the 7 free lessons are all about. So if they go to theamericanmonk.com, they'll discover that. With respect to the children, now with the children's thing, it's brand new. It's, when I say brand new, I started 3 weeks ago. You can't get much newer than that.
No, you can't.
And we've already gotten a ton of orders. I mean, everybody, apparently people they're buying it and then they're telling their friends about it and they're buying it for their children. And that is myinnermagic.com. Myinnermagic.com is for teens and tweens, preteens. I wouldn't recommend it for 5- and 6-year-olds. That would take a different category. I would say a minimum of 8, and then they would have to be rather mature 8 for them to really get any benefit out of it.
Do you think that teaching children younger than 8, as soon as they can understand it, meditation would help all of these children kind of get through, you know, with what's going on in the world?
You can if you talk their language. Mm-hmm. As an example, I was in the kindergarten class, and I was talking to the kids. I was just telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, now, I would like you to listen to this CD. And I played the CD, about 5 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, what do you think of that? And one child holds up his hands and he says, my daddy's got a CD. I mean, you know, this is for 5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get through to them in the normal way. Mm-hmm. The only way that I would talk to a 5-year-old is through metaphor, and that would be, of course, through stories.
Mm-hmm.
A 5-year-old, some of them would relate to the tic-tac-toe business. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I have found that is very helpful for the preteen, for the 5-6-year-olds, mm-hmm. is learning. And now, this is something that most of your listeners and perhaps yourself do not know either. But a 5-year-old will pick up on this. Now, a 5-year-old knows that if you shout, you're going to be heard better than if you whisper. But what they don't know is that you can shout or whisper mentally also. People who are very shy are shy because mentally they're constantly whispering to themselves. People who are aggressive and assertive are usually speaking very loudly on a mental basis, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this is controlled, a person can become as assertive, as creative as they want, volume of their mind, their mental volume.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a five-year-old can understand this.
Which I'm sure amazes a lot of people, because I think a lot of people think that anyone under the age of 10 does not understand a lot of things that's going on, and they do not understand that you do not have to constantly be on their back with everything, that there are other techniques to get things done.
It all depends how you put your points across. It all depends on the manner in which you talk to them. You have to realize, I mean, people say, well, I want to talk to them as an adult. Well, you can't talk to them as an adult, because you have to get them to understand. As an example, here I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
In promulgating esoteric cogitations, you must beware of Platonotia's ponderosities. Now, what I just said... What I just said was, be brief. Now, why didn't I just say, be brief?
Uh-huh.
Some people can't talk that way. Now, it's the same thing when you're talking to a child. When you're talking to a child, you can't talk to them like you're talking to an adult. Your language has to be different for them to understand you. It's really not complicated.
I don't think it's complicated at all, but like when I'm talking to a lot of people, and they're, you know, I'm given because I do the intuitive life and stuff, and if their kids are there, they all, you know, or involved, it always comes up, and I will ask them, you know, about certain children and how they do and what parents do to help them, and most of them look at me like I'm talking about somebody from another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, you know, look at them and go, you know, you're saying that you don't really talk to your children. It's like, well, they don't want to talk to us. It's like, I don't think that's true. Maybe if you would just kind of back down a little bit and, you know, put the way you're saying it more at a level they can understand, it would probably help them more. And it's like it has not dawned on them that that's what they need to do.
Yes, exactly. I do a lot of... a lot of stories to enhance the memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of my students learn the nine, well, it's questionable as to whether there are nine planets now. But I'm of the old school where there are nine planets. Pluto is
right.
A planet as far as I'm concerned, whether the astronomers are at odds. And I teach the children the nine planets and their relationship with the sun. And I do it in about 3 or 4 minutes,
mm-hmm.
simply by telling them a story. When they understand that, when the parent understands that, they understand a little bit better how to speak and how to relate to a child.
Mm-hmm.
Do it with stories. You know, this is nothing new. I mean, how fairy tales, how far back do they go?
Yeah, forever almost.
Forever, of course. We all grew up with, you know, silly stories like Humpty Dumpty. Some of them are terrible. Little Red Riding Hood, The Wolf Ate Her Grandmother. You know, they're really terrorist stories. But we still remember them. And what was the point of the stories? Most of them did have points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could still do the same thing with respect to the planets. I just tell a story about a thermometer with mercury at the bottom, and the mercury spews out of the top because it's such a hot day and falls on a statue of Venus, who doesn't have any arms, and she kicks out, and she kicks the little ball of Earth, and there are four little green men on top, and they jump off the ball because they get frightened. The four green men, of course, represent Mars, the fourth planet,
mm-hmm.
and they run to the center of the garden where a juniper tree is. And a juniper tree is the biggest thing in the garden, and that represents, of course, Jupiter, and et cetera. And before you know it, they know all the planets. mm-hmm. through a story. That's talking to them on their level. And they're interested. Mm-hmm. If you can't get a child interested in what you're saying, it doesn't matter what you're saying, they're not going to hear you.
And that's very true. I have a technique I use. My granddaughter, I tell her a story every night before she goes to sleep if I'm not working. And the stories are usually based upon a character that she may know. Like one of the big ones that gone back was a character called Kim Possible, which is a girl who saves everything. And I start off with a story where she's out there trying to save something, but it ends up where it's a very learning story, like with friends and how you help each other. And you know, it goes into that kind of an ending. And she loves them. She usually goes to sleep with that.
There
you know,
go.
And then sometimes what we'll do, because she has a great imagination that I keep trying to keep going with her, is we'll sit down and I will start the story. And then I'll say, okay, it's your turn. And she will continue on with the story. And then she'll say, okay, it's your turn. And we will tell stories, you know, and add to it and keep going on until we, you know, don't have anything else to add.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves that because it's using her creativity, whether it's talking about a princess and being saved or whatever, she gets to use her own version. And it works really well because it's hers. And she understands what she's saying. And sometimes our stories have lasted for like over a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if a lot of parents or grandparents or anybody for that matter actually sit down and take time to do stories like that. They usually are too busy, too rushed, and it's like, okay, you got to eat, got to do your homework, got to go to bed.
That's right.
And it's done.
Stories are so important. Because stories stimulate the imagination. You have to see with your mind's eye what the story mm-hmm. is about. That's the whole idea of stories, creating and enhancing the imagination.
And it's all really, really true about kids in general. Now, before we go any further, Bert, can you give out all, and I'm saying all now, of, you know, the way people can reach you and to get your CDs, all the different, you know, .coms or whatever they can go to so that the people can write this down and go search it up?
Yes. They can go to theamericanmonk.com. That's for adults. And for children, this is the brand new program. It would be myinnermagic.com.
Okay, and to order the CDs, whether it's for adults or children, they can get them off of both those sites?
You can find, yes, on those sites you'll find the CDs are available either in physical form where we will send you the actual CDs or digitalized, which is quite a bit less, of course, where you can mm-hmm. download them immediately, instantly.
Okay.
From either one of those sites.
And people can send you emails or stuff through either one of those sites?
The email address is there.
Okay. The other question I have, when we were talking about the genius dip, and you talked about how the schools are not quite where they need to be, and you've noticed that their IQ level or genius level dips all the way through to the end of high school. Is there a way to help the parents understand that there's more needed so that the genius dip does not occur?
Well yes. The way to do that, of course, is to go to either one of those sites that I mentioned and or just read the genius dip. They can get a whole of the genius dip by going to, I think you can get that on my blog. The blog is blog.theamericanmonk.com. Instead of theamericanmonk.com, just put blog dot in front of it.
Okay.
And the genius dip report will be there. It's a very interesting report. Have you read it?
Oh, yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting, and yeah. I kept saying I'm going to contact you until I get through to you so I can have you on my show. And not just for that, because I've been getting your information for a long time, you know, and all of it is very, very interesting. And if people would just read it, it would probably help them to kind of get also, you know, through the world the way it is today, because you have a lot of very, very interesting topics that you have talked about.
Mm-hmm. Here's something for you also that you might be interested in. Go to, my name is Bert. So go to Bert, B-U-R-T-S, Bert's Art.us. Not dot com, but dot U-S. Bert's Art.us.
Okay.
Now, the reason I'm giving you that, I like to practice on myself. Mm-hmm. I am not an artist. I've never been an artist. But using these techniques that I teach other people, what you will see, you'll say, well, this guy's got a... What do you mean you're not an artist? Everything that you see there, I did in a period of about 9 months, 2 years ago. First time I picked up a paintbrush, I was 78 years old. Never picked up a paintbrush before. And what you'll see there is some of my art through these techniques. You'll also... There's a place there for my photography. Of course, when I say I'm not a photographer and yet I'm in the Hall of Fame, you might wonder, what in the world kind of photography does he take? What kind of pictures? You'll be able to go to the photography also. In addition to that, I was practically thrown out of high school. The Second World War was on, and we were all going into the Army, all us boys. We really weren't interested in anything. We couldn't wait to get into the Army. This was in 1944 and 45. And so I didn't really pay any attention to anything. I didn't know a comma from a period. I knew how to read and write, of course. I mean, I was always fairly intelligent. But I didn't know anything about English literature, writing, or anything. When you go to Bert's Art, on the bottom, you'll see, seven or eight books that I've written. And you'll see an entire chapter of each one. Read a couple of those chapters, and you'll see what you can do with a creative mind, even though you know nothing at all about the subject. That's one of the reasons I like people to go to Bert's Art. Not to see what I can do, but to see what I could do not knowing anything about the subject that I'm working with. I've never been a photographer. I'm in the Hall of Fame. I've never been an artist. I'm in museums. I've never been a writer. Well, when you read some of my writing, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, this is what I'm trying to stimulate children with now. This is what I want to impart to the teens and the tweens of today. The ability to do the same thing. No limits.
Well, I think there does not need to be limits because it truly is unlimited. The only thing is our society has his way of trying to limit everything, and not, you know, not just when you're a child, but even when you're an adult like you. You know, people say, well, what makes you think you can do what you've done? Well, who cares what makes you think you can do it? You just do it.
Just do it.
And see what, see what comes from it.
Of course.
You know, you're not going to fail at it unless you turn around and you say, oh, I couldn't do it, so I'm a failure. Well, there truly isn't failure here unless we say, hey, you know, I failed. Because I think it really is very, very much unlimited with everything we try to do, from basically, well, we can, you know, read or write, or even before that, all the way through until like the day we die. I don't think there should be an age limit set at any particular time.
No, there is no age. There is no age limit. Not. I mean, you're talking to somebody who is, you know, the age means nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've started businesses after 80, and I'm looking forward to starting businesses when I'm 90. I'm not quite sure about 100, but why not?
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
The thing is, when it comes to kids, you know, I look around at the school system, and I don't really agree with the way the school system is because it's been kind of outdated for a long, long time. Is there a way, Bert, that you're trying to put some of what you're doing into some of the school systems in your area? Are they willing to open the door and let you do that?
No. I wish I could get in. They're so tied into this the government project of No Child Left Behind that is, hopefully the next administration will get rid of that. I believe that's a disaster, that business.
When I attached to my 501c3, A Child's Miracle Mind, is also a label called The School of Now, which is for children. I don't have it going yet, but it's for children, and it's using all the metaphysical techniques, wisdom, and knowledge that we have, that we've had forever, that has been left behind. Most of that is creativity. Most of that is the self-confidence that you're talking about. Most of it is just letting that child be that child. And then there will be another leg of it called the Miracle Mind Institute, which will then be mostly for, you know, like 18 years old and up, because there will be a lot of different kinds of classes. But, you know, that's in the works, and it's really hard to get people to say, hey, this is a great idea. Let's give this person some money so that they can see, you know, see how it's going to go. So that's the process I'm going through now, is why I asked about school. So here's my proposal and offer to you, Bert. When I have this going, can I bring you in and you can help with some of the children or all of the children, kind of like learn who they are and give them that creativity they might be missing out on?
Oh, sure. Sounds like something I'd love to do.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to getting it all done. It's just trying to find the monies to do it, but I won't give up because I think that's very important.
Yeah.
You know, and I think children truly are our future, and if they're not put that direction, our future doesn't look so cool at the moment.
Right.
When they talk about the ADD and the ADHD, now, I think that there was a small article that you did, or you may have included it with the Genius Dip that you had mentioned. Do you recall that?
With respect to the attention deficit?
Yes.
Disorder?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I don't like to get involved with medical problems. And this is, it's kind of a psychological one. But here again, now there's some children who need help, mm-hmm. psychological help.
Right.
I'm not referring to those. But
okay.
for the most part, if the information is offered to them on their level, as we have mentioned before, mm-hmm. they'll pay attention. They'll pay attention. When I talk to children, they're all paying attention to what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get their attention. Well, I mentioned drugs before. And
right.
I still recall one class. It wasn't a class. It was for a probation officer. There were 10 children in there, and they're young teens. I'm talking to them about drugs. One of them is reading a magazine, two of them are hitting each other, another one is doing her fingernails. Nobody is paying any attention to me at all. Well, I've got mm-hmm. to get their attention. So I says, you know something? I says, drugs are the most wonderful invention that's ever been created. Everybody looked at me. Everything
uh-huh.
stopped. The girl stopped doing her nails. The kid stopped reading a magazine. What? Wait, what? What'd you say? I said, drugs are the most wonderful thing in the world. Everybody's paying attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
I says, when you're stoned and you see a cockroach crawling on a wall, you say, wow, isn't that beautiful? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got them all agreeing with me now.
Mm-hmm.
Now I take them in the direction that I want. First, I got to get their attention. Now
mm-hmm.
I take them in the right direction. I say, you know, that's why drugs are so wonderful, because when you're on drugs, everything is beautiful, and you're satisfied with everything. Yeah, 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 everybody's agreeing. And also, I said, that's why they're so dangerous. What? What do you mean? Now I've got their attention, now I can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell them why it's bad to be satisfied. Well, it's the same with anything else that you're talking about. Attention. If you don't have their attention, you may as well not talk to them in the first place.
Right, which I think is true, and I just don't think people know how to get their attention. And
right.
And, you know, and the key is to get it, like you're saying. Now, Bert, our time is just about up, but I would like for you to give out both of the websites again, please.
Okay, the one website is for children is, well, of course, for parents. Children aren't going to buy this. Children aren't going to look at it. First, the parents have to be satisfied. The website is My Inner Magic, My M-M-Y, Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Magic, well, Magic, obviously, yeah. MyInnerMagic.com. And the other one that is super successful, and that one I've had for about a year, one is TheAmericanMonk.com.
All right, Bert, that's been great.
Or GoldmanMethod.com.
Yes. Bert, okay. It's been wonderful having you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Nancy.
You're welcome. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk later. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Bye-bye.